Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, January 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our plumbing show today. And, well, have you ever tried a plumbing project on your own? How'd it work out for you? I'll tell you how. Some people are good at it. I'll give you that. I'll tell you how it worked out for me. Very, very poorly. And it took a very long time to achieve very poor results. If you don't know your way around a basin wrench or your basic garden variety ratcheting PVC cutter or an auto feed drain gun, not to worry. We have our resident expert with us today to answer your plumbing questions. Ian Cowan is back again to join our discussion and ask your plumbing question. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Yes, it's plumbing on the radio. Great radio straight ahead. It's Vox Pop coming up. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our plumbing show today. We do one every few months or so, and I always learn a lot on this program because I'm a terrible plumber. And I realize every time that I see a project, I say, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can put that sink in. And turns out, probably I can put the sink in, but it takes about 6 to 7 days. And then I realize, oh, yeah, the plumbers really know what they're doing. And we have one in the studio who really knows what he's doing. Ian Cowan is back with us. Ian is with On the Level Plumbing, and he specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps. He is here to answer your questions so your sink installation doesn't take 6 or 7 days. So if you're stuck, you're backed up, you're confused, now's the time to give us a call. 800-348-2551 with your plumbing question. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Ian Cowan, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Ray. We always appreciate coming out here.
Happy New Year to you, and you brought somebody with you who I don't know who that is.
So, yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. So, we brought Jamie Boucher with us today.
I got to write that down. Jamie Boucher.
Kind of like Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy.
Oh, there you go.
So, Jamie's one of our excavators.
Yeah.
So, I thought we'd add in a little bit here in case somebody has questions on drainages, ditches, that kind of thing. So, he does a lot of our water line replacement, sewer replacement. Septic, tank installation, leach field installation.
So, really? Yes. How did you get involved with that?
I started running machines when I was about 8 years old.
Okay. Now, are you sure you want to say that on the radio? I think there's probably a law or two you've just violated, but okay, fair enough.
Nah, I don't think so.
All right, man. Well, you're old enough now, right? Yep. Good for you. And so you're working for Ian.
Uh-huh.
And how's that working out for you?
It's going good. I like it.
He's a tough boss, though, isn't he?
He's not too bad.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. That's not what I heard.
We rode here together, and I think he wants a ride back.
fair enough. Our number is 800-348-2551, and let's go to the phones. Jeff in Troy. Jeff, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm in an older house, and the kitchen, everything in the kitchen drains to a dry well, which has failed. So I want to move all my lines over into my septic system. And I've got an old cast iron stack, and I'm wondering if you have any tricks as far as there are plugs that I can that I can get into to run my new piping, but I don't know how to get those things out. They have probably never been opened in like 100 years. What should I do to, before I start really torquing on those and crack the cast iron, any tricks?
Okay. Absolutely. So, Jeff, a lot of times those plugs are either galvanized steel or brass. And then what we generally do to get those out is we'll drill a hole in there, and then we use a Sawzall type tool, a saw, and then you cut over to the edge of the threads. And then you take it out in sections. Once you get a little corner section out, then you can turn it because it takes, twist it out because part of the threads are missing. And that's usually how we take those out. Also, if you wanted to cut the cast iron and you can put in a Y, you can put in PVC or, some other type of material, and then you have, some other type of piping, and then you have what's called a no-hub coupling in between there, which is a fully banded clamp that goes around, a piece of rubber, and that slides in there, and that's how you connect to the new piping. And they actually actually have, I know we don't do a lot of promotion on particular products, but there is a Sawzall blade that's made for cutting cast iron. And it's wonderful. It
really
actually cuts like butter. We used to use carbide tip blades. Then we went to diamond blades, and now they have this new thing out. And it's called, do you remember? They call it the Game Changer. And it's marketed, it's a red blade. I can't remember the company name, but they sell them right at Home Depot, and it cuts through cast iron like butter. It's amazing.
Wow. I'll be darned. Oh, well, there you go, Jeff. Do they have the Goldfinger sort of lasers that'll cut through the pipes yet?
I don't have those.
You don't have that yet?
We use, as plumbers, we use what's called a snap cutter usually to cut cast iron.
Yeah.
But a homeowner's not going to go spend $1,000 on a, you know, or $500 on a tool.
And the normal pipe cutter, which I have where you, it's like a ring and you just spin it around, that won't work
that
on
won't
cast
work
iron.
That won't work on cast, no.
And so this coupling basically is just a fitting that goes on top of the what edge of the cast iron and onto the PVC.
And it's a rubber piece, and then around it you have a fully banded coupling. So they make what's called Fernco's, but you don't want to use those because those are made for underground. You want the one that has the full band on it, so it's metal all the way.
And it's structurally sound?
Absolutely. We use it every day.
Ian Cowan is our guest. Also, Jamie Boucher here from On the Level Plumbing. And our number is 800-348-2551. Tom in Taconic, New York. Tom, you're on.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a hot water system that comes out of the furnace. And I noticed that the flow from the shower is constricted. I took the nozzle off and soaked it in white vinegar, and then I got that to work better, but still the flow coming out of the shower head is really constricted. What should I do?
So a couple of things. First of all, you said your water is heated by your boiler. It's actually a boiler and not a furnace, but six of one, half dozen of the other. So do you have pressure in the rest of your house?
Like if I run, well, the best pressure is the cold water. The hot water is not as strong.
Right. So what you may want to do is have somebody out to what we call acid flush the coil. So if it's the hot water throughout the house, what you're getting is you're getting some buildup in the coil, which is where your hot water is heated inside your boiler, and that gets corroded or mineral buildup. And what we do is we cut into that line. We cut in some shutoff valves, and then we put in drains, the boiler drains, hose connections, basically. Mm. And then we force acid through the coil until it's clean, and then we flush it with water so you don't drink the acid, and we clean it
all
out.
That's really good.
And then you put the water back in service. But that's what you want to do for that.
You know, I've got cast iron radiators, and I've been here for like 8 years. When I first lived here, when the heating system would kick on and the radiators would start to heat up, they would make it like a ticking noise, mm-hmm. and they don't do that anymore. And I wondered if they're working, if they're less efficient, Or if they're getting clogged up?
Well, it depends. It could be that they were knocking because you actually had air in the system, and now you don't have the air in the system and they're working. It would also depend on whether you're a steam system or...
No, it's not a steam. It's, you know, just... Okay. I've got these... In fact, what runs from the... It's plastic tubing that goes actually to the radiators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. So it sounds like the air is finally purged out of the system. So you shouldn't get that. When you don't get the knocking, your system's actually working better.
Oh, there you go.
Well, okay.
Thanks,
Tom,
for the call.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. Plumbing show today on Vox Pop. Chris in Clifton. Is it Clifton, New Jersey or Clifton Park, New York? Where are you calling from?
Clifton Park, New York.
All right. Well, good to have you on, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I've got a oil-fired forced hot air furnace that I installed in my garage. I hung it from the ceiling, and I just recently got a 275-gallon oil tank to put outside. Now, my question is, what's the best way to plumb that tank up to the furnace? I'm worried that, you know, with the probably about 12-foot difference in height, the furnace isn't going to be able to pump the oil up that high.
Probably not. So they actually make pumps you can put on oil lines. So I would check into that. And it sounds like you're pretty handy if you put it in yourself. So just go to any go to your supply house and ask them, and they can put an extra pump on the system. They can give you the pump.
Okay, so it'll be like an inline fuel pump or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thanks Chris. Great. We are racing through
we
the
are. I noticed
this is amazing.
That's crazy.
Jamie Boucher, you enjoying the show so far?
I am.
Okay, you brought a lot to the table thus far. I just want to tell you.
It's a whole new experience for me.
Appreciate your
We're input. Breaking them in slow, right?
All right, Benjamin in Pittsfield. Benjamin, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've got a situation where in my basement, like a lot of other folks, my washing machine. So the drain for a while was working, and then it started backing up, spilling, you know, the water all over the basement floor. So I thought it might be plugged and, you know, put drain cleaner down and everything else. Worked for a little while. But it's an old cast iron drain, the pipe as well as the trap that's attached to. So, unfortunately, I think this thing is rusted so hard shut that you can't open the trap. Is there a way to either change that, or do you have any suggestions as to, you know, what do you think it might be? Is the trap just plugged and it's time to change it, or what? I don't know.
Okay. Have you had somebody out to cable or snake the drain? Have you tried that?
You know, that might be an issue because there's a lot of long-haired people in my house.
It's that, and also there's a lot of lint that comes through. So once you get it up and running, a trick that I've seen people do for many, many years is take an old pair of leggings or pantyhose, and they put that on the end of the discharge line, and they, you know, wrap a rubber band around it to hold it. Just make sure that you have it sticking out of the standpipe so that doesn't go down your drain and clog it up, because then you'll have to cable it again. But that'll catch a lot of the lint and hair, and you just have to make sure that you know, clean that out regularly. But that'll help you.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Now, wouldn't that restrict the flow of water?
No, because it's like, I'm sure it would restrict a little bit, but it's just like running through a strainer.
And why wouldn't there be a filter of some kind designed into this?
Because it would be another spot to back up, because people don't like to change filters and they don't like to do things.
But even a wire mesh, right? Little screen?
They make things. You can buy them, but why would you want to spend $10 on something when you can take something that you already have laying around your house that you're going to throw away?
I'm sorry, why? Okay, but the logic, if you're eventually going to have to put the pantyhose on the outtake or whatever, then why wouldn't you just have something built at the factory to put?
Because that would be so. What happens, Ray, is if they don't clean it out regularly, then that water has no place to discharge, and it's just going to back right up into the unit. So then it would be I'm assuming would be potential for lawsuits, because we have would be my thought.
Lawyering up once again with Ian Cowan. It's the Plumbing Show. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Careers and Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com. Interactive Media Consultants, LLC. Celebrating 20 years providing websites, branding, social media, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond. imediaconsult.com. And Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's Plumbing Today with Ian Cowan and Jamie Boucher, and you at home, 800-348-2551, or via email at voxpopwamc.org. And Ian and Jamie, this one came in from Robert in the town of Wright, who writes, "We've recently had a problem with our sink drain and disposal. Twice in the last 8 months, we've had a drain service in to run a 50-foot power snake to clear a disposal-based blockage. My 25-foot hand snake was inadequate. Apparently size does matter," says Robert. The plumber suggested we no longer use the disposal because our 40-plus-year-old drains are deteriorating from within and are no longer flowing sufficiently to allow this convenience. What say? Thanks. That's from Robert in the town of Wright.
Well, just based on what you told us, Robert, I'd have to agree with your plumber, but I haven't seen it. So without looking at it, my guess is you probably have old galvanized piping, which starts to kind of rust and corrode and build up on the inside. So without changing that piping, and usually that's not underground, not always, but usually it'll go into cast iron or plastic when it hits the ground. So you may want to consider changing that part of your drain system to be able to continue to use your garbage disposal. And it also, it's going to clog up from everything else as well if you don't do that. So I would suggest probably getting it replaced if possible.
So they've had it snaked a couple of times, and it's still happening again. Can't you just replace all the pipes?
Well, yeah, but... Who knows? Without being at the house, I don't know. They may be underground. It may be talking about jackhammering floors or digging up. You know, I don't know where that pipe goes, but at least get it to the base, to the stack, and then it should be better to where it gets to a bigger pipe.
All right. Our guest today is Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. It's otlplumbing.com. Let's go to the phones again, 800-348-2551. Mike in Cornwall. Mike, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Are you, am I coming through?
Yes, you're coming through.
Okay, bi-level house, I'll be very clear, short. Bi-level house, three bathrooms. One in the hallway upstairs, small bathroom off the master bedroom upstairs, small bathroom off of a, whatever you want to call it, third or fourth bedroom or den downstairs.
Okay.
The downstairs bathroom contains or has an odor. The other two bathrooms don't have it.
So, Mike, you probably don't use that bathroom a lot, right?
No, yep. I don't.
So the problem is every fixture has what we call a trap. It's a U-bend underneath it. So if you look under the bathroom sink, you'll see the pipe comes down, goes back up, and then goes out. That's a trap. There's one underneath the shower stall in that bathroom, and then there's one built into the toilet.
Okay.
So if that doesn't get used, the trap dries out, and the sewer gases come back up, and they smell up your house. So what you want to do, that it's called a trap because it traps sewer gases. It doesn't catch earrings. So that's what you want to do. You want to make sure you just run that or pour some water in there every once in a while, and you'll be fine.
Will it catch earrings?
Sometimes. Okay, I've pulled out engagement rings.
That's when you're a real popular fellow. Jules in Cornwall. Jules, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, I guess, is fairly universal. To get water into my kitchen, I have to go through my garage, and the pipes freeze constantly. Do you have any tricks or ideas on how to keep pipes from freezing?
Insulate them. So, you know, without looking at your house in particular, is there any way to box them in and insulate them? Could you build like a chase? Or you could use what we call heat tape, where you wrap the pipes and you plug that in. They're very common in mobile homes because there's that skirting underneath. And
you plug them into an outlet?
You plug them right into an outlet, and you plug them in whenever it gets cold, and it just sends a very small current just to keep them from freezing. Or you can also run your faucet to just a steady small amount of water, because running water is harder to freeze, and hot water actually freezes first because the molecules are farther apart.
How about that, Jules?
Does any of that work for you, Jules?
That would be fantastic. What did you call that product that you plugged in, the insulating?
Heat tape. It's just called heat tape. You can get it at any box store or plumbing supply.
I've never heard of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, very common.
It just
right?
used for pipes, or can you use it to, you know, if you got a room that's very chilly, put it on the walls?
I suppose you could. Wrap it around the windowsill.
Maybe that's not a good idea. In fact, our legal department says don't do that. Let's go to Joanna in South Hadley. Joanna.
Hi, I have a question regarding French drains.
Okay.
We live in a 1948 house. We think it's a solid poured concrete basement, but it might be one of those things with cinder blocks and then kind of cement over it. I don't know. Anyway, we've installed two different sump pumps in two different corners of our basement. But we get very, very heavy rains. The ground gets saturated, and it kind of comes in all around the floor-to-wall seam. So I have a feeling we should really do a French drain. I want to ask you, as a consumer, what things do I need to make sure happen? In other words, is there a particular kind of facing that should go on the outer walls of our foundation so that water doesn't seep in. There's a lot of calcification and even paint peeling on the interior walls of our basement.
Explain again what the French drain is.
The French drain is you kind of dig a hole near the foundation wall. You know, you want to come away from it a little bit, and then you lay the stone. And there's a couple different options, but usually you would go with almost like a perforated pipe. You know, you'd lay the stone a foot or two up, run the perforated pipe around through the ditch, and then you cover it up with some more stone, and the water follows down into the stone and catches into that pipe.
Huh.
And it'll run, you know, if you got in your backyard, if it comes down the hill to the edge. And then actually what I like to do when you're digging up, you get kind of expose the side of the foundation and you dry lock the whole thing. They make
So dry lock.
Mm-hmm. They make it comes, you can get it at Home Depot in 5 gallon buckets. You dig down the side of the foundation. You can do it on the inside of the foundation, do a couple coats on either side, and that stuff works really well.
There you go.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Joanna, thank you very much. We are really,
we're blowing through these.
It's a record pace, man. Record. Let's keep it going. 800-348-2551. Gene in Albany. Gene.
Hey.
Hi.
It's a great show. I have a couple questions about pipes and plumbing, similar to one that was asked a little while ago.
Right,
I have some pipes that go through a unheated space.
Okay.
But my space is up in my attic. There are two types of pipes. One is a hot and cold water supply to a kitchen in a one-bedroom apartment up there. And the other pipes are radiator pipes that go hot water radiator to and from radiators. So the pipes pass through unheated crawl space behind the apartment walls in the attic, more or less.
Okay.
So I've discovered the insulation is very poor there. I'm looking at improving the insulation, which should make those spaces colder. I'm worried about the pipes freezing. What's on these copper tube pipes now are just kind of like a cardboard covering that's held in band with these metal clips. And some of the corners are packed with something. I'm not sure if that's asbestos or not.
Well, that's what I was just gonna say, Gene. You gotta be careful with those because the turns with the type of insulation that you're talking about, they're usually asbestos. And you need to have those removed by a professional. I can't give you any other recommendations.
In other words, leave them in place until someone professional
tests them and make sure that they're not asbestos. And if they are, you need to, unfortunately, you shouldn't take them off. But if they're not asbestos,
is it only the corners?
It's usually just the turns, the 90s or the 45s.
Right. So if it's copper tubing, though, is it still likely it could be asbestos, or is that indicative it's newer?
No, it really doesn't. Again, these are some of these questions I can't answer without actually looking at them. So you want to have somebody test that because asbestos is very dangerous stuff, believe it or not. And it really sometimes your insurance actually covers removing it if it needs to be replaced. Your homeowner's insurance will cover that, and that may be something you want to check into. But as far as insulating them, what do you want to do when that's off? I would recommend again, just like to the last caller, the heat tape and then also the foam insulation on top of the heat tape, and you really need to either have that installed by a professional or watch the how-to videos that the companies that make them will put out, because if it's not put on right, you're really wasting your money. It's not going to work. You have to make sure everything's sealed. You have to cut the corners properly, but that's what I would do, but I would stay away from the asbestos if you can.
Gene, thanks a lot. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. Michelle in Niskayuna. Michelle, you're on.
Hi there. I have a question about drain flies. We seem to have this perpetual problem with drain flies.
Drain flies.
And I've narrowed it down to the main drain in the floor, which now I cover over with duct tape. And I was thinking of bringing somebody in to maybe snake the drain or look at it with a camera to see where they're breeding. But is there any way to sort of like totally get rid of them, or if I don't need this floor drain anymore, can just seal it or something?
Huh.
So your question is a very common one and actually sounds just like the one from the shower drain guy earlier. So you need to keep water in there, and that will keep them out if it is a floor drain. But you can also eliminate that floor drain if you're not using it, and then they can't get out. But you're really not going to get rid of sewer flies. They live in sewers, so they're going to come out when they can. But if you have that trap, that water barrier, it keeps them out.
So keep running water or...
Just every... couple of days or whatever, just fill it. It's just the trap drying out. Or you could also have a problem with the drain line where it's not venting properly, and it could be sucking the water out of that trap as you drain your other drain. So a slow drain can cause that. A clogged vent can cause that. A lot of different things. So you may have another issue.
You need to get a camera in there to find out?
Absolutely.
Well, I've opened it up, and I've looked in the drain, and there's water in there, which surprises me then that I have moths in there, because I know about the S-trap.
You may also have, there may be a hole in a drain pipe somewhere, and the way that we test for that is we do a smoke test, usually. So if you call a plumber, they can do a smoke. It's basically the old smoke balls that you had when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And you seal off the drain, you put that in, and then you look for it. And if you don't like that idea, we do it with mint. You can do a mint test.
Oh, minty fresh.
It's harder to find, but we can do that as well.
Michelle, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. And over to who's next? Who's been waiting longest here? Looks like Bill in Gilderland. Bill, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I have a mystery drip.
Oh, boy.
I'm
sorry. That's Medical Monday.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right, fine.
On the first floor bedroom, a drip of water comes onto the top of the threshold door that goes into the bathroom, and it drips every 40 seconds. My daughter timed it. So up above that, we have the kitchen and we have an upstairs bathroom. I don't see any leakage or anything, and I don't know where to look.
So,
any suggestions?
You're not going to like it. But what I would do is I would open the wall and or ceiling where the water's coming from. And it's already wet, so it's really not a big deal because you should probably change
it.
That because you're looking at mold and all kinds of stuff. So depending on, are you on a well or are you on town or city water?
No, it's city water, and it's not, the wall or ceiling is not wet.
Okay.
Runs itself along the wood on the top of the threshold.
Yeah, so just so you know, Bill, water will take the path of least resistance. So sometimes where you're seeing the water come out could be 3 or 4 feet away from where the actual problem is. But the reason I asked is it sounds like you have a small pinhole leak somewhere, and a lot of times that's caused by poor water conditions. But if you're on city water, it's probably just something else. But if it's a small pinhole and it's spraying somewhere and then running down, you're going to have to open the ceiling, unfortunately, and look for it. It might be hard to find, but... You should be able to find it.
Okay. Do you think that it could be that the toilet is not seated properly?
Not if it's leaking consistently every 40 seconds. That doesn't... You would get that on the drain, and you would get that only when you flush the toilet. But if it's consistently dripping 24/7, it has to be on a water line, not a drain line.
I see. Okay. One more quick one, guys.
Sure. Go ahead.
How do I get rid of the corrosion look on copper pipes? In the basement, coming from the furnace and that.
Just for aesthetics?
Just say it, for aesthetics, right.
You can use a Scotch-Brite pad, or sand cloth. That's
about it.
Maybe a copper cleaner you use on your...
Are you sure, though?
I don't know.
Will that compromise the pipe if you use a copper cleaner on it?
I don't think so. I don't know. I've never had this question, Bill. It's a new one. I like it. I'd use Scotch-Brite.
Steel wool.
Scotch-Brite's probably a little...
I like Scotch-Brite because that's what we use to clean and sand before we solder. That or mesh sand cloth.
There you go. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And John and Rhinebeck. John, you're on.
Yeah. Hi, John here. Thank you for taking my call. I got a pre-zone heating. Basically, it's a forced hot air. System from propane that covers the main floor with duct tape, duct work, and then Below is the basement, which has a baseboard hot water, I guess. And then the top floor is where the problem is. It cut out on us, and it's sort of intermittent. Like I was bringing the guy in, and then all of a sudden the pipe got warm. You know, the vents or the ductwork got warm.
Yeah.
The baseboard got warm. And I was wondering about it. There's these circulators, and there's a this thing called a Tasco kind of thing where all these wires go to these different. There's four of these circulators up down in the basement.
Yeah.
What would be your thoughts on that?
Intermittent. So, I guess I have a lot of thoughts. So,
Go ahead.
Not sure what the actual question is. So, if you're asking why you weren't getting heat and then you were, it sounds like you have.
Yeah, it's.
It sounds like you have a. You're saying you have ducts, so you have. A hydronic heating system that goes into an air handler that heats a coil, and then there's a fan that blows that air out. Mm-hmm. And that's why you would
get
that.
Right, that's for the main floor.
Right.
And that's the main floor.
And that was working or that wasn't?
Basement. That's working fine. The basement, and which is also working, has water going into these long baseboard things.
So what about the one that's
top floor?
The top floor that wasn't working? That's baseboard
that
as well?
Same. That's a water... based with a long these long baseboard
right.
heating.
So you don't have an air handler for that floor, so we can eliminate that as being the problem. So now we're looking at either your thermostat wasn't calling right, so low batteries, silly enough.
Okay.
Your circulator could have been jammed or clogged and then it freed up. Your Argo panel or your Taco panel that has all the wires in it could have not been reading right. But the problem is, and it's just like your car. When your car has a problem, you take it to the mechanic, and then you don't have the problem anymore. So without the problem showing itself, there's a lot of variables that we can't eliminate because everything's working. So you really have to, when it goes out, then that's when you have to start checking those things, unfortunately.
Okay, gotcha. But the thermostat is working. You can see it. It says that it's sending a signal to the burner, I guess, to go on.
Yeah, but you'd have to.
It didn't. It's,
you'd have to test the wires at that time to see if there's a faulty. You know, to make sure that it's actually getting. So you just put an electrical tester on. You make sure that the circulator is getting power. And if it is, then the circulator could have just been jammed up and then it freed itself. You know, that it could have been something in the line.
John, thanks a lot. We have to take a break here. It's Vox Pop. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan and Jamie Boucher are here from On the Level Plumbing. We'll be back with the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from George Heigl Antiques, Boston Spa, New York. Offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. For 14 years, offering plant, spirit medicine, and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit. CLAREPearson.net. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre. The 1850 House and Tavern, the1850house.com or 845-658-7800. And the University at Albany Theater Program, working to train the next generation of performers, designers, technicians, playwrights, and stage managers, albany.edu/theater.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. 2:41 is the time. It's a plumbing show today. We do that every 3 or 4 months, and Ian Cowan always joins us. Ian with On the Level Plumbing. And also brought with him Jamie Boucher, who has answered exactly one question, but is still remarkably awake. Well done, Jamie, and nice to have you on the program as well. Maybe there'll be another question. You never know. So we'll nudge you if necessary. Back to the phones we go, and Jack in Malta. Jack.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Question is about a gas hot water heater.
It's about 8 years old, and it has what I think is sediment buildup that causes it. You hear the noise percolating and bubbling kind of when it fires up. And I'm wondering if there's any effective treatments that you might recommend to deal with that.
Absolutely. It's called change the heater. So,
oh, they should last longer than 8 years, right?
Usually, well, it depends. It sounds like he has some water issues. So you might want to, when you do change the heater, you might want to, you know, consider putting some sort of water treatment on there, an anti-scaling filter, you know, you can flush it for now. But the problem is once you get to that point, if you think about a water heater, it's just a big thermos with a flame on it. So you start to get buildup under there and it actually starts to, you're going to end up with a leak if you don't deal with it. So I would say, you know, you're at the 8 year mark. You usually get about 10 out of a heater. You can wait if you have the 10 year warranty, wait till it floods and then you can get it replaced under warranty, or you can be proactive and change it out and then also put in a an anti-scale filter.
Why on earth can't they make one that lasts 20 or 30 years?
Well, I'm sure they could, but there's no, it's called planned obsolescence.
I think
they,
we had a 12 year one, but they never last 20.
No, they always, they usually last about 10. And that's about it. And then it's planned obsolescence. Remember the DeLoreans, the stainless steel car that
great car, sure.
Yeah, well, they don't make that anymore, right?
Well, I think there were other issues besides that. There. By the way, we got an email from our buddy Joe who just warns everyone out there, if you're polishing copper, please wear a mask or respirator while doing that, as it's a large area and the oxides are not good for you.
Thank you.
That's from Joe, and thank you, Joe, for that. Our number is 800-348-2551. Chris in Fallsbridge, Connecticut. Chris.
Yeah, hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Yeah, yeah. I got this water feature. It's like this fountain thing. And I got a pretty long pipe that drains it out. It's like that black plastic you use for putting down to the well. It's like the ABS plastic.
Okay.
It's like 1 1/4 inch plastic. And it's plugged up partially. It only lets it trickle. So my fountain overflows now, which is a real drag. So I got a snake, but it's just a homeowner snake. It's like 25 feet long. And it's drained. This pipe is like 125 feet long. There's no sharp bends, just sweeps and stuff. And I tried one of them Drain King things. It's like a rubber thingy you put in there with a hose.
Yep.
I tried to blow it out with that, but that did not work. So there's instruction, but I can't reach it from either side because it's too long. So how can I drain that thing out and get it going again?
All right, fair question.
Longer snake. If you don't want to do that, maybe buy a, you could buy a roll of, you know, 200 foot, maybe 3/4 inch piping or 1 inch, whatever will fit inside that 1 1/4. Shove that through, maybe.
Buy a roll of pipe and shove that pipe down the bigger pipe.
Oh, that's, that'll work brilliant.
I mean, that might actually be cheaper than paying somebody to snake out the line. Maybe.
Yeah.
Could you
yeah.
do any damage
I'm
though
sure
with
there's,
that?
There's plumbers out there that got really long snakes, right? Or pool guys or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
But I don't want to spend a lot of money. I tried shoving a garden hose in there and wrapping it up with like dish towels and stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking a roll of buy yourself a roll of like 3/4 or 1 inch poly, whatever's going to fit inside of there, probably 3/4, and then maybe get a and then either cap it or you know close the end up so that you push through.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for that call. 800-348-2551. Melissa in Great Barrington. Melissa.
Hi, I was just calling in regards to flooding in my basement. And the main question is who to go to do all the work, because I'm a first-time home owner.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've had friends and family who say, oh, I can help you with that. You just have to, you know, rent, like, big machine and I can just excavate your whole backyard and get, you know, drains, flexible drains with gravel. And so I just want to know, should I go to a plumber and have them evaluate the situation? Because I just want to, if I'm going to do it right, I just want to pay for it once.
Melissa,
can I just
say something that you're going to ask this question of plumbers. So I'm predicting what the answer is going to be
well,
in advance.
Well, no, Melissa, first of all, congratulations on your new home.
Oh, thanks.
And you know, it really depends on the qualifications of your relatives. You know, if they
well,
if if this is what they do for a living, then yeah, that's great. Or, I mean, if you want, shop around, call a few plumbers, and you know, get the idea of what they want to do to repair. Like Jamie was telling us earlier about putting in the drain system. We don't know, you know, if you're on hills or not, if we can take that to what we call air or daylight, or if you need a pump system. Yeah. So I would at least have a professional look at it. Most professionals will give you a free estimate or a very low cost estimate to tell you what you need. And then if your relatives and friends think they can do it, go for it. But remember that licensed, insured contractors have to stand behind their
and
work.
You can wreck a friendship pretty easily if your friend is incompetent. But speaking of that, do your friends know what they're doing? And if so, can I give you my number?
It's questionable.
All right. Well,
no, just kidding. But so go to a plumber and then have they could make the recommendation, and then you could go to a licensed contractor.
Well,
that's
also a licensed plumber. But that's what I mean. So it depends on where you live. New York State is funny about licensing.
Great Barrington. Oh,
so yes, you have to be licensed in Massachusetts. It's statewide. So okay. So I would have a plumber at least look it over, give you an estimate. Then you can tell your friends to look at the estimate and see if it's something they can handle.
There you go.
And if they can't, then definitely remember that whatever contractor you use is going to be licensed and insured. Your friends are probably not insured.
Okay, so the plumber never does the work. It's always the contractor, correct?
No, I meant,
just makes the recommendation?
I meant a plumbing contractor. So it's the same thing. So, yes, the plumber would do that. But I was saying about your friends not being licensed, not the plumber. You know what I mean?
Right,
Well, Melissa, good luck with that. Yes. And congrats on the house.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thank you so much.
Bye now. Over to Carol in Kingston. Carol, you're on.
Hi. I live in an apartment complex, and when the people who live in the floors below my apartment take a shower, the noise is thunderously loud in my bathroom.
Hmm.
Does that mean the pipes are going to fail?
Oh, that's a great question.
What kind of noise are you hearing? Is it?
It's very loud, a very loud roaring noise while they run their shower down below in the floors below me.
Gotcha. So just sounds like I wouldn't worry about the pipes if you're hearing water. It's probably just, you know, thin walls is what it sounds like. Nothing you should be.
Well, thin floor would be dangerous. I mean, they're the people below her. But I mean, I guess that's not really the purview of a plumbing show. But
sorry.
Well, that sounds interesting, Carol. Good luck with that.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. And quickly over to Bob in Poughkeepsie. Bob, you're on.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a simple question.
Sure.
What are the best flushing toilets?
The best flushing toilets? They all have the low flow now, right? At least in New York?
Everywhere.
Yeah, I sort of want the opposite of that. I want a really strong, definite flush.
Well, I'm with you, man, but I don't think we can get that
anymore.
Unfortunately,
the government has controlled that. We're down to 1.6 gallons per flush maximum, which is the equivalent of 6 liters.
To save water. So it's a noble cause, right?
We follow Europe and everything, and that's what they did. So that's why we went to that. And according to all of the research that they've done, they categorize them in classes, and Toto and Kohler rank the highest. So Toto is going to be a little more expensive usually than Kohler. Kohler, however, does have a $5,000 toilet they sell. So you can,
$5,000 toilet.
Yeah, it kind of
Perfect.
Looks like a trash can. So, but according to you can do your own research. But I have had not a lot of trouble and not a lot of problems with the newer Kohlers or the Toto toilets.
There you go.
I don't know if we're
great. Thanks very much.
Hey, I appreciate it very much. So, $5,000 toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy.
I think so.
What does it do? Anything special?
Opens the lid when you walk up.
It opens the lid
and a bidet. It's got the built-in bidet.
Well, so this is really high-end.
Well, they make toilet seats that you can plug in. You just have to make sure you have electrical GFI.
Why would you want that now?
Because they heat the seats. They clean. It has a wand that disinfects the seat, and it also has a built-in bidet, front and back.
Can you get one that'll just go for you? You don't have to go at all. Let's go to Lindy in Round Lake. Lindy, you're on.
Oh, hi. I also have a hot water question.
Okay.
I have trouble with the hot water in the shower, and I realize that there's not a hot water problem in the sink in the same bathroom. I wonder if you had any ideas about
that.
Does
it just
I was going to have to.
Does it just not
I'm
get
getting hot,
enough?
Water, but it feels like I'm running out of hot water in the shower.
Mm.
Okay.
And I've had to turn it more towards the hot.
Okay.
And so what do you think about that?
But if at the same time you turn on the sink, you're getting hot water?
Yes.
At the same time. So it's not a problem.
Well, not at the same time.
Okay.
Not simultaneously.
Well,
no.
The reason I ask is it could be a couple of different things. So one could just be the you need to replace the cartridge. And is it a single handle tub faucet or are there?
Yes.
Yeah. So you may just have to. It may be the mixing valve in there that something could be in there. It could be partially clogged. Or if it's happening throughout, it could be an issue with. Whatever you have heating your water heater, your coil in your boiler, whatever, whatever. It could be that if it's happening everywhere. Yeah. If it's only happening.
No, it's not happening everywhere. It's only happening in the one shower.
Then you just need to get, that probably just needs to be rebuilt, we call it. They change the cartridge inside. Very simple.
All right, Lindy, thank you so much. Let's go over to Beth in Goshen. Beth, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So here's what I got going on. There's a bathroom with a shower and a tub, two sinks, and a toilet. And the shower smells really, really bad.
Okay.
And we've had a bunch of plumbers come and, snake the lines. We check the vent on the roof to make sure that it was venting, and it is. The trap is working. And every once in a while, one of the two sinks kind of smells, but it's really bad, and it's been for like 2 years, and we've put enzymes in the lines, all the time. And any ideas?
And you use the shower or no?
Oh yeah, it's used every day for 4 showers.
Okay, I know it's going to sound silly, but has this happened since you've lived there, or is this a new problem?
So the house is 14 years old and we built it. So it didn't happen, in the beginning, but maybe it started like, hey, does that shower smell? Like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then about 2 years ago, it's really super offensive. And here's the weird thing. So, and by the way, we also had the toilet ring, the toilet bowl ring, I guess like where it meets the ground.
Yeah,
we had that changed. Like everything we could think of. We did, but the weird thing is it almost seems, because it doesn't smell right now, and it almost seems like once it got cold out, like once the ambient temperature, maybe the ground got cold, it stopped smelling.
That is.
And also we went down because we thought maybe like it was something where the pipes tie, because it's an upstairs, it's three stories, so we went down to the basement, and we thought maybe. Like the septic line was like clogged up or something, and it's not.
So I would recommend, and we mentioned this to an earlier caller, but I would recommend a smoke test. Believe it or not, I ran into a problem very similar to yours not too long ago. And it turns out that they never glued one of the fittings in the wall. And it was right behind the shower, and that it after a few years it settled a little, and that started to smell, and it came in through, and it was really, really hard to find, and I think I was like the eighth guy that was called out there, and we did the smoke test and we found the problem within minutes.
There you go.
So it would just be, the problem would be that like air is drawing in, and that's what's allowing the sewer gas to draw up.
If you're getting a sewer gas smell, you either have, there's a spot where the water's either not being trapped by a trap, there's no water barrier, or it's getting out somewhere else, maybe a hole in a pipe. I've had people put a, hang a picture on a wall and put a nail through a pipe kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it could be a lot of things, but I would definitely recommend a smoke test. Sometimes those are really, and again, I had one just like this a couple of months ago, and it was ridiculous.
Well, Beth, thank you very much for that call. And to Kim in Rhinebeck. Kim, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about rust in the water in my house. We just did a new bathroom within like the last year, and it stains the appliances. If I have like a jug of water that I keep in the fridge, over time, doesn't matter, plastic or glass, it will stain that. So clearly we drink bubbled water in the house.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you had any thoughts on how to address that.
They make water softeners that take out iron. They're iron soft softeners. And there's also filters that can take out iron depending on, I would have my water tested if I were you. And you test for three things. You test for hardness, pH levels, and iron content. And then, you treat it accordingly. And you can treat it at point of use, so you only treat it in the kitchen, or you can treat the whole house, depending on how much you want to spend and how you want to do that. But that's pretty common, too. And you're in Rhinebeck, so I'm guessing you're on a well, right?
It's actually a point.
A point?
So I don't know what the difference is between those, but we don't have a well dug. It's a point.
Don't know. Ian actually looks quizzical here.
I don't know what that means.
Are you on municipal water?
No.
Huh.
No, it's private.
Well, that's weird.
Oh, so you probably have a shared well with your group, maybe local homes?
No, and it's weird because my next door neighbor does not have the same problem.
Huh.
Hmm. Well, I would. You actually, there's a place right by you that tests water. Smith Labs is right by you, so you could, if you don't want to have a plumber come out, we usually will come out and test the water on site. But you can go right over to Smith Labs right by your house, and you can have your water tested, and then contact somebody if you want about treating that. But I would put in a filter just to take out the iron. Either way.
So the point of use, you'd put it on right on the faucet.
It goes right underneath in the. So they make point of use filters that would go underneath the sink.
Gotcha.
You could do that in the kitchen or the whole house.
Well, Ian Cowan and Jamie Boucher, what is the website for you guys?
OTLplumbing.com.
OTLplumbing.com. And you got a nice new truck there outside.
Yeah, a couple nice of them.
Blue truck, very fancy, schmancy stuff. Well, Ian Cowan, thanks a lot for being here. Support comes from Preservation League of New York State, offering an EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York so our past has a future. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design featuring Cambria, quartz countertops, Murillat cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, curtislumber.com. Thanks again to Ian Cowan and Jamie Boucher of On the Level Plumbing. It's otlplumbing.com. And thank you for listening and for the great calls and emails today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who handled the controls. Thanks to Carol Lapani, who answered the calls today. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the program, I believe it is the Science Forum, and you know how exciting that can be. So start getting those science questions ready, and we'll join you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Stand by now for news.